Isabel Allende's Violetta has captivated readers worldwide since its 2022 publication, quickly becoming a high number one New York Times bestseller. This sweeping saga follows one woman's remarkable life spanning a century of upheaval and transformation. Oprah Winfrey called it a testament to the resilience of the human spirit, while former President Barack Obama included it in his summer reading recommendations, praising its unforgettable portrait of a woman shaped by the major events of history. The novel's exploration of female independence against societal constraints resonates deeply in our current cultural conversation about gender and power, making it both timely and timeless. In 1920, as the Spanish flu pandemic devastates her South American homeland, Violeta del Valle enters the world as the first daughter after five sons in a wealthy family. Her birth coincides with a time of unprecedented mortality. Bodies pile up in the streets, while the privileged few retreat behind locked gates. Her father, Arsenio del Valle, a financial visionary with questionable ethics, had anticipated the pandemic's chaos by fortifying their estate with armed guards, stockpiling supplies, and creating what amounts to a self-sufficient compound. The family mansion, Camellia House, stands as a symbol of faded glory, a sprawling but deteriorating property Arsenio acquired through installment payments he eventually stopped making, much like many of his business dealings. The household forms a fascinating microcosm of early 20th century society, each member embodying different aspects of the era's social dynamics. Violeta's grandmother, once the spirited matriarch of a prosperous family, now sits silently in her wheelchair, lost in memories of better days. While her aunts, Pia and Pilar, represent contrasting female archetypes of the era. Aunt Pia, widowed before her wedding day could arrive, transforms her personal tragedy into a lifelong vocation, dedicating herself to healing the sick and maintaining a perpetual state of mourning that becomes her identity. Aunt Pilar, mechanically gifted with a colonel's temperament, defies gender norms by managing household repairs with remarkable skill, from fixing leaky pipes to rewiring electrical systems, causing everyone to remark that God had made a mistake with her gender. Violeta's early childhood unfolds in privileged isolation behind Camellia House's imposing gates. Hopelessly spoiled until age five by her parents and army of servants, she becomes a tantrum-throwing terror who terrorizes the household staff and manipulates her older brothers. The arrival of Miss Josephine Taylor marks a turning point, not the matronly English governess the family expected, but a stylish 20-something American with modern ideas and a psychology degree from Vassar. Through patience, consistency, and innovative teaching methods, Miss Taylor transforms Violeta from an unmanageable child into a curious student, teaching her independence and introducing the structure she desperately needs. More importantly, she quietly exposes Violeta to progressive ideas about women's rights, political freedom, and social justice that will shape her worldview and influence her decisions throughout her life. The 1929 stock market crash violently shatters this sheltered existence. Arsenio's financial empire, built on speculation, questionable loans, and elaborate pyramid schemes, crumbles spectacularly, leaving the family destitute. After learning of their impending eviction and facing multiple arrest warrants for fraud, he takes his own life with an English revolver in his private study. Young Violeta discovers his body, but experiences a strange emotional detachment that will haunt her dreams for decades, the first of many traumas that shape her complex relationship with death and loss. The family conceals the suicide, claiming heart failure, to secure a Catholic burial during those desperate times when many wealthy men met similar ends, their deaths carefully rewritten to preserve both dignity and religious propriety. The family's financial ruin forces them to flee the capital for Noel, a remote southern town of vast forests and emerald lakes. What begins as exile becomes a 9-year period of unexpected growth and discovery. In this semi-uninhabited province, Violeta discovers a new way of life far removed from urban privilege. The Rivas family, Abel, Lucinda, and their daughter Teresa, generously welcome the displaced Del Valles. Violeta quickly adapts to rural life, learning to use the black stove that serves for cooking, heating, and drying laundry. Her mother languishes with persistent health complaints, but Violeta thrives in this natural setting. When Miss Taylor suggests sending 14-year-old Violeta to boarding school, she threatens to run away, insisting she learns more on the farm, which proves true. Her education takes unexpected forms. She studies medicinal plants with the indigenous healer Yaima, teaches with Abel and Lucinda's nomadic school, and develops practical skills that would have been unthinkable in her previous life. The rhythms of rural existence shape Violeta's development. Winters bring farm chores and social gatherings organized by her aunts, who serve homemade liquors and offer healing to local women. Summers mean touring with the mobile school and helping with harvests. Without peers to compare herself to, Violeta experiences adolescence without typical turmoil or romantic fantasies. Though photographs show she grew into a lovely young woman, appearance matters little in their practical rural life. Her closest companion is Apollonio Torito Taro, a gentle giant with profound connections to nature. Though sometimes cruelly mocked as simple-minded by outsiders, Torito possesses remarkable wisdom about animals, plants, and weather. Periodically, he disappears for weeks, returning thin and happy after getting acquainted with the wilderness and indigenous peoples who call him Fuchan, the wise giant. In this period of exile, Violeta develops the independence and resilience that will define her character throughout the century. What began as displacement becomes a foundation for her unique perspective on life, one that values practical knowledge, connection to nature, and human relationships over material wealth or social status. At 20, Violeta meets Fabian Schmidt Angler, a 23-year-old veterinarian from a prosperous German immigrant family. Despite her initial indifference, Fabian visits the farm daily for 2 months, gradually winning over the family with his quiet, humble demeanor. Their relationship becomes physical, though Fabian maintains strict boundaries about premarital intimacy. While she enjoys their encounters, Violeta doesn't feel urgently drawn to marriage, seeing Fabian as predictable but reliable. The marriage proceeds nonetheless, and Violeta settles into a comfortable, if uninspired, life with Fabian. Their relationship lacks passion but provides stability, until Julian Bravo crashes into her world. The decorated RAF pilot who had fought in World War II arrives at Hotel Bavaria in a seaplane, radiating danger and raw sexuality. Despite being married, Violeta falls into a passionate affair, discovering the fundamental difference between an uninspired husband and a passionate lover. Their first encounter is transformative. At 28, I discovered the surprising possibilities of pleasure. My monumental ignorance of my own body, a product of my prudish upbringing by my mother and spinster aunts, dissolved under Julian's skilled touch. There is no love that first afternoon, only devastating desire that will shape the rest of Violeta's life. Unable to continue living a lie, Violeta tells Fabian she wants to separate and annul their marriage. He refuses to consider annulment, the only way to end a marriage before divorce became legal, believing he can win her back. This begins a complicated period where Violeta lives in limbo, neither fully married nor truly free. With Julian, Violeta experiences the heights of passion and the depths of torment. Their relationship produces 2 children. Juan Martin, a sensitive, intelligent boy who resembles neither parent in temperament, and Nieves, born beautiful and fearless with her father's adventurous spirit. Julian constantly criticizes his son's sensitivity while spoiling his daughter, undermining Violeta's attempts at balanced parenting. The relationship with Julian becomes increasingly toxic. He disappears for weeks without explanation, conducts mysterious flights to Argentina, and works for the mafia in Cuba, transporting liquor, drugs, and women. Seeing Julian's cash profits, Violeta proposes they start Seagull Air, a legitimate seaplane business, insisting on a legally documented 50-50 partnership. Though successful, Julian quickly grows bored with routine flights. Their relationship reaches a tense truce, with Violetta surviving on anxiety medication and sleeping pills, constantly fearful of Julian's violence, illegal activities, and criminal connections. She describes their dynamic as a perpetual cycle of hate and lust held together by their daughter Neves. After each visit, she would return home determined never to answer his summons again, but inevitably gave in, like a trained, beaten dog. Motherhood brings Violetta profound joy and devastating heartbreak. Her relationship with her children reflects the complicated dynamics of her own life choices. Juan Martin, her son with Julian, grows into a thoughtful intellectual despite his father's constant criticism. Julian derides the boy's sensitivity and interest in philosophy, comparing him unfavorably to his sister Neves, who embodies Julian's own adventurous spirit. Neves becomes the focal point of Julian's obsessive attention. When she turns 14, he begins taking her on trips instead of their annual family vacations, just the two of them, like a father-daughter honeymoon. He teaches her to drive cars and co-pilot airplanes, supplies her with cigarettes and alcohol, and takes her to nightclubs and casinos where people assume she's his latest conquest rather than his daughter. By 18, she's singing for tips at hotels while Julian jealously chases away potential suitors. The unhealthy dynamic between father and daughter leads to tragedy. Neves eventually runs away with Joe Santoro, a small-time gangster posing as a talent agent. When Julian tracks them down in Las Vegas, bringing a hired hitman to teach Santoro a lesson, Neves stands up to them and threatens suicide if they harm Joe. Julian realizes she is just like him, indomitable and capable of sowing disaster with indifference. Neves descends into the hippie counterculture, living as a beggar in a haze of psychedelic music and drugs. She begins using heroin, likely supplied by Santoro, who periodically reappears in her life. After nearly dying from an overdose, she's forcibly taken to a rehabilitation clinic in Utah, from which she eventually escapes. Pregnant and determined to quit drugs for her unborn child's sake, Neves contacts Roy Cooper, a private detective who had slipped his card to her during the Las Vegas confrontation. Roy helps her find refuge with Rita Linares, a Mexican seamstress in Los Angeles. When Violetta joins her there, they experience a precious reconciliation, restoring their long-lost mother-daughter bond. Tragically, Neves develops eclampsia during childbirth. Despite doctors' efforts, she dies shortly after delivering her son Camilo by cesarean section. In the hospital chapel, Violetta makes a solemn promise to her deceased daughter that she will be mother, father, and grandmother to Camilo, loving him enough to make up for Neves' absence. At 52, Violetta begins raising her grandson, finding that the little mouse restores her youth and transforms grief into celebration. Camilo grows into a mischievous but generous boy who reminds her of his mother's courage and uncle's idealism. As a teenager, he becomes politically active against the military dictatorship that has overtaken their country, causing Violetta constant worry. The political landscape of Violetta's country transforms dramatically during her lifetime. The democracy she took for granted collapses when a socialist president is overthrown by a military coup. Julian had ominously predicted a bloodbath, and his words prove prophetic as the country descends into authoritarian rule. Juan Martin, now a university student with progressive ideals, becomes a target of the new regime. When several students and professors are disappeared, arrested without cause, and denied due process, Violetta helps him escape across the border disguised as a woman named Lorena Benitez. The normally 2-hour journey takes 7 hours due to constant military checkpoints, where soldiers thoroughly search the car but barely glance at the supposed Manny, their classist and machista attitudes helping them pass undetected. For 4 years, Violetta has no news of her son, finally discovering he has been living in Argentina under a false identity, working as a journalist. He writes articles about their country's dictatorship and sends information to Europe. In Buenos Aires, Juan Martín falls in love with Vanya Halperin, a violinist whose brother belongs to the Montoneros guerrilla organization. Just as he's settling in, Argentina experiences its own military coup. The commander-in-chief declares that as many people as necessary would die to restore order, giving death squads complete impunity. Thousands are kidnapped, tortured, and disappeared. Violeta later learns about Operation Condor, established by the United States to install right-wing dictatorships across Latin America. During this period, Violeta receives devastating news about her old friend Torito. Bodies of disappeared persons are discovered sealed inside a mountain cave, the first time such victims have been found intact rather than disposed of in the sea or desert. At the police station where families identify belongings, Violeta recognizes the wooden cross she had carved for Torito years ago, confirming his death. This moment marks a turning point in her life, making her question her privileged existence and material possessions. As the dictatorship begins to crumble from within, Violeta worries about Camilo's growing political activism. The teenager follows his hero Albert Benoit, a French priest who practices liberation theology and protects protesters by standing between them and armed soldiers. After being arrested for spray-painting anti-government graffiti, Camilo is released through diplomatic intervention, but Violeta's fears for his safety intensify. Throughout the political turmoil, Violeta demonstrates remarkable business acumen. After selling the prefabricated home business she built with her brother, she turns to property investment, buying well-located properties, renovating them, and selling for substantial profit. Her financial independence becomes a source of power and security in an uncertain world. As democracy returns to her country in the late 1980s, Violeta enters her seventh decade with an easy spirit and a new love. Harald Fiske, the Norwegian birdwatcher who had helped Juan Martín escape, reappears in her life as his country's ambassador and gradually becomes her best friend and constant companion. Their relationship proves that falling in love in old age could have the same intensity as in youth, but without the drama that had characterized her relationship with Julian. With democracy's return, women's organizations flourish, and Violeta finds her true purpose. She establishes the Nevis Foundation to fight domestic violence, inspired by Eltavina's sister Susana, who had been brutally beaten by her police officer husband. Working with experienced activists, Violeta dedicates the foundation to reporting, informing, educating, protecting victims, punishing perpetrators, and advocating for legislation against domestic violence. Even in her 80s and 90s, Violeta maintains her vitality. She and Harold travel to Antarctica, where they swim in freezing waters and spend Norwegian summers in his simple forest cabin without electricity or running water. Their relationship keeps her young through adventures and shared experiences. Though Harold is practical rather than romantic, giving gifts like pocket knives instead of flowers, he once admits his greatest wish is to die by Violeta's side in her southern homeland. At 87, she still considers herself young, dancing rumba for exercise and canoeing Patagonia's dangerous rapids. Harold's sudden death at her 95th birthday party devastates her. He dies with champagne in hand, singing, drinking, and in love. But it breaks her heart that he leaves her despite being 13 years younger. As she approaches her final days, Violeta makes a poignant return to Santa Clara Farm, once called Exile, a place that holds the deepest echoes of her past. She settles into the prefabricated house her brother built in the aftermath of the devastating 1960 earthquake, finding comfort in its familiar confines. The walls seem to whisper with the lingering presence of those who came before, her strong-willed mother who never fully adapted to their reduced circumstances, her proper aunts who maintained their dignity despite exile, the loyal Rivas family who became more than servants, the mystical Facunda with her herbs and prophecies, and faithful Torito who protected them all. This return completes a profound circle that began with her family's desperate flight from the capital nearly a century earlier, when they traded luxury for survival. The symmetry of Violetta's life story takes on an almost mythical quality. Born during the devastating 1918 influenza pandemic that claimed millions worldwide, she will complete her journey during the 2020 coronavirus outbreak, bookending a century of human triumph and tragedy. Her life is meticulously documented in 73 leather-bound diaries and thousands of letters, preserved in careful chronological order. Yet despite this vast archive of experience, Violetta maintains a characteristic humility about what she's learned, admitting that she has acquired experience, but perhaps less wisdom than one might expect from such a long life. Her personal philosophy remains disarmingly simple: treat others as I want them to treat me, though she candidly acknowledges the time she failed to live up to this ideal, particularly in betraying Fabian in a moment of passionate weakness, and in her harsh treatment of Julian, which she justifies with the stark assessment that he deserved it. As death approaches, morphine brings both comfort and revelation, inducing vivid visions while leaving her mind surprisingly lucid. She experiences remarkable episodes of what she describes as astral projection, floating above her body in moments of transcendent freedom that give her a taste of what might lie beyond. When she directly asks Etelvina, her devoted companion of many years, about her impending death, she receives the honest answer she has always valued. Though generally at peace and curious about what awaits on the other side, Violetta experiences moments of profound fear, wondering if total desolation might be the final reality. Yet these dark thoughts are consistently overcome by her enduring belief in light, a lot of light, even as the vital force of life makes letting go a gradual process. In her final moments, Violetta experiences a vision that brings her story to a perfect close. She sees her beloved daughter Nieves, lost too soon, coming to guide her onward. Her last observation of the sky's beauty serves as a fitting farewell for a woman who always found wonder in the world around her. Her extraordinary journey, encompassing a century of personal triumphs and failures, political upheavals, and social transformations, concludes with the same grace that marked her life. This remarkable woman, who entered the world during one global health crisis and departed during another, leaves behind not just a legacy of resilience and passion, but also the hard-earned wisdom that comes from embracing life in all its complexity, with its joys and sorrows, its victories and defeats, its loves and losses. Violetta's testament to her grandson Camilo transcends the boundaries of personal memoir, emerging as a profound historical document that captures the sweeping panorama of 20th century Latin America. Through her detailed narrative, we witness not only her individual journey, but also the seismic shifts that transform society, from the suffocating constraints placed on women in the 1920s to the gradual emergence of female empowerment in the modern era. Her evolution from a sheltered daughter of privilege to a formidable businesswoman and philanthropist mirrors the broader liberation movement that reshaped women's roles across the continent. The intricate web of relationships that defined Violetta's life illuminates universal human experiences with remarkable clarity. Her passionate affair with Julian contrasts sharply with her pragmatic marriage to Arsenio, illustrating the eternal tension between romantic desire and social obligation. Her complex relationship with her children, particularly her troubled son Jorge Antonio, reveals the heart-wrenching choices faced by parents caught between love and principle. The unexpected romance with Roy in her later years demonstrates that the capacity for love and personal growth remains vital even in life's final chapters. Violetta's remarkable resilience emerges as a central theme throughout her century-long journey. The devastating financial crash that forced her family's retreat to rural Santa Clara, what she terms their exile, became the catalyst for her transformation into an independent woman. The military dictatorship's persecution of her son tested not only her courage, but her ability to navigate treacherous political waters while protecting those she loved. Each crisis, from natural disasters to personal betrayals, strengthened her adaptive capabilities and deepened her understanding of human nature. Her philanthropic work through the foundation represents more than charitable giving. It embodies her philosophy that privilege carries responsibility. The organization's focus on women's education and economic independence reflects Violetta's own hard-won insights about the importance of female self-sufficiency. Her return to Santa Clara in her final years creates a poetic symmetry, bringing her life full circle to the place where she first discovered her strength. As Violetta composes her final testament, she distills a century of experience into wisdom that transcends her personal story. Her narrative illuminates how individual lives intersect with historical forces, creating ripples that influence future generations. The frank acknowledgement of both her sins and virtues offers Camilo, and by extension, all readers, a nuanced understanding of how human complexity shapes history. Through her unflinching self-examination and rich storytelling, Violetta ensures that her legacy will continue to inspire and instruct long after her departure, demonstrating how one life, fully lived and honestly recounted, can illuminate universal truths about resilience, love, and the endless capacity for human growth.